Hey, good morning, church. Good morning, church. Good morning. Awesome. Great to see you all today. You glad to be here? Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm glad to be in this place today. Man, I can't believe it's December. This is the first day of December. Isn't that crazy? Man, this year has just gone by so quickly. I think this time of year as well, Thanksgiving and now Christmas, really reminds me a lot of home. I have images, and I think of the sights and smells at home. For some reason, I know why. When I think of Thanksgiving, I think of actually TV dinners, because Thanksgiving was the only time of the year where I felt like we had real food. But I just remember, I always remember thinking of Swanson's TV dinner, Salisbury steak. Everybody remember Salisbury steak and green beans and the radioactive corn and that goopy stuff, you know, that just burns through your tongue. Good stuff. But when you think about home, right? When you think about home, images of home, what do you think about? Who are you with when you think about home? Who are you deeply connected to when you think about home? You see, one of the reasons, if a person were to ask me the question, say, Roy, why do you believe in Christianity? Why would you even follow Jesus? I would say, because it feels like home. It feels like this place where I belong. It feels like peace. And so we've been in this series for the past couple of weeks called Seasoned with Salt. And it's about how to talk with your friend, your neighbor, your coworker, about particular objections that almost everyone has about the faith. And how to keep the conversation going, because we get stumped a lot on these conversation stoppers too. And so we're ending the series today, and the last conversation stopper really is a conversation starter. And the last conversation starter is this. If a person asks you, so you, why Jesus? Why Christianity? Why would you choose that? And this conversation stopper, which is really a starter, is really just an opportunity to share your own story. That's what it is. It's an opportunity to share your own story. And so that's what I want to do today. I want to take some time, and I want to give you the reasons why I think that Christianity makes the most sense. Why it just makes the most sense, and why it resonates with me, and probably the reasons why it resonates with many of you. And I want to use the central text that we've been studying through as the launching point for the points. And so it says this, Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Paul says, "And I pray and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message." He's talking about the gospel, "so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this morning. Thank you for this series that we've been through for the last 6 weeks. I know for myself as well that it's been incredibly challenging and eye-opening and has really helped me also to solidify my faith. And I pray that that's what's happening in our congregation, Lord, as well. And as we just wrap it up, Father, I know you have a message for us. I know you have a word for us. And so I pray that you would use this servant to express your heart and your desire, Father, for every single person in this room this morning. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first reason why Christianity makes the most sense, I think, out of all the other things that we've talked about, and what makes the most sense to me is, number one, is God's unconditional love for us. God's unconditional love for us. So, church, can you help me finish this sentence? Jesus loves me, this I know. Right, yeah, just the kids rhyme, right? It's so simple, and yet it's so profound. It simply means that God loves us no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter how prideful we've been, no matter how hurt we've been, no matter how damaged we are, no matter how perverted we are, no matter how lustful we are, no matter how angry we've been, no matter how violent we've been, no matter how jealous or greedy or insecure. It does not matter. It's just an amazing fact that it does not matter, that God still, that he loves us. And then Paul uses this phrase to capture the unconditional love. He says, it's the mystery of Christ.
Paul's saying that I know the love of God. I've actually experienced the love of God in a really real and tangible way. But God's love is still amazing, and it's so big, and it's so wide, and it's so deep, and it's so profound that it's still just a mystery. Like, I'm blown away by it every day. And he adds the phrase, for which I am in chains. And he's not saying that Christianity is a ball and chain. He's not saying religion is a straitjacket. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that when I think about God's unconditional love for me, I am captivated. Captivated by that kind of love. And I don't know about you, but I need unconditional love. I do. I need unconditional love. When I'm going around the house, I've lost my keys or my wallet for like the 1,000th time, you know, and I'm asking Mia or an angel to help me, you know. I need unconditional love at that moment. When I've said something hurtful to someone, when I've done something to break a relationship, when I've been selfish, when I've said some hurtful words, man, I need unconditional love. I know I don't deserve I don't deserve love in that moment, but man, I feel like I need someone to say it's okay. I need someone to tell me that I'm all right. When was the last time? Think about it, when was the last time where you did something hurtful, where you really blew it, and you said to yourself, maybe in your mind you said, man, I just need unconditional love. I just need someone to tell me that it's okay. And I want you to know that when you voiced that, when you asked for that, when you hoped for that, maybe someone didn't say it in response, someone there, but I want you to know that the God of the universe said that I love you. I want you to know that the God of the universe says that I accept you. That's unconditional love. That's unconditional. And that kind of love, Paul's saying, it's so captivating. Have you ever been captivated by someone's love before? You know, sometimes, you know, Angel and I, we love playing matchmaker, right? But sometimes we try to set people up here, and anyway, we haven't done too well so far. But, you know, once in a while, I'll have a conversation with a guy, right? And I'll say, like, hey, guy, like, this girl over here, like, she's amazing, right? I mean, have you thought about her? And, you know, and he's like, yeah. And then once in a while, I get these guys, right, and they'll take out their wallet. And he's like, Roy, look, I got this list. And she does not meet, like, number 8 and number 10 of the requirements of my list. And they're just like, oh, man, no wonder you're still single, you know. I mean, you know, just some people just, I'm not sure how to love. You know, love is something where you're captivated by a person, right? I still remember when Angel and I, when we had our DTR, which means define the relationship, or depending how it goes, it means destroy the relationship. But we had our DTR, define the relationship. And I just remember, like it was yesterday, you know, we're sitting in the church parking lot. This was back in Maryland, sitting in my red Ford Escort. And I was so nervous. I was super nervous. And I was just telling her how I felt, right? And then it was her turn to say something. It's like The Bachelor, you know, that final moment, the final rose. And then she starts telling me how she feels about me. And I'm captivated. I mean, I was already captivated by her. But then I was even more captivated by her expression of love for me. Like, me? Like, really? Really me? Like, I could not, you know, imagine. This is one thing I know. And I'll just tell you, church. This is one thing I've learned about love through all these years, right? Is that love, like real love is illogical. And I think that the illogicalness of love is another reason that we're created in the image of God. I know that there's sometimes when if you're not a believer, you look at Christians and you think they're kind of crazy, right? Why would a Christian take 2 weeks of vacation and go do a mission trip in Africa? Like, why would they spend time there, right? Why would these Christian doctors go to West Africa in order to go treat patients who have, you know, Ebola? Like, why would they do that, right? And what I want you to know and understand is that when you see a Christian and they're doing these crazy things, it's not because they're mentally unstable. It's because they're in love. It's because they're in love. They've been captivated by a love, and it causes them to do some pretty interesting stuff, some pretty crazy stuff. And it just makes sense, though, too. See, when a guy is in love, he'll take a shower. When a guy's in love, he'll put on deodorant. When a guy's in love, he'll actually go and buy cologne. A guy would never buy cologne unless he was really in love. When a guy is in love, he will, this is crazy, right? We'll spend 2 months' salary to buy this little sparkly rock? It doesn't weigh anything. That's just, who does that? You know? But we've all bought into it because I'm in love. And then you give it to the girl, and the girl, she's just as crazy too. It's like, oh, this little rock, oh, it's so pretty, you know? I'll spend the rest of my life with you. What? Really? The rest of your life? That's crazy. You know, there's only one other species in the animal kingdom that does this, and they're penguins. Penguins. So the male Gentoo penguin, he searches through piles and piles of rubble to find the smoothest one, the most roundest one, and he presents that to the female penguin, and if she accepts the rock, they become mommy and daddy, you know, penguins. See, when you're in love, your IQ drops to a penguin. That's what happens. And the next time you see a dude and he's in love and he just met this girl online and he goes, like, travels 200 miles to see her every weekend, he's crazy, right? No. He's just getting his penguin on, right? That's what he's doing. He's just expressing it. Love is illogical. Love is so illogical. God's love is so crazy illogical. You know why? Because God says he loves you, and he never pulls out of his wallet a list and says, you know what? You didn't meet 8 out of 10 requirements. You didn't meet 9 out of 10 requirements. He never does that. He doesn't have a list. He says, I love you unconditionally. And when you read the Gospels, man, it's just so amazing. It seems like the people that are the most uncool, the least powerful, the people that are the least beautiful, the ones with no power, the ones with no influence, it's the ones who never were able to get their lives together. Those people that so much people in our society just discard, they're trash, they're junk. They're not going to make any difference. It's like those people in the Gospels is Jesus is specifically drawn to say that your life matters. It's crazy. Love. That's the way that God loves us. And it makes so much sense because I need that kind of love. I need that kind of love. Wow. See, love, guys, love, it's about being captivated. And those who are in love are those who are the most alive. And those who are the most alive are most willing to risk their life for love. And we see that in Jesus. Again, with the cross, that God would come down and that he would risk it all for love. And he paid the ultimate price on the cross because he died for us on the cross for all of our sins. He risked it all. See, guys, right? I mean, it just doesn't make sense that why would the God of the universe who created all heavens and earth, why would he come down and risk everything to say that he loves all of humanity? It doesn't make sense. The reason, or the only way it makes sense, is because he is in love. And love pursues. And he pursued every single one of us all the way to the cross so that he would demonstrate, so that he would know, so that you would know how much he loves you. And see, when you personally receive that kind of love in your heart, when you open your life to that kind of love, that love, it just takes a hold of you. It captivates you. That's what Paul's saying. It's this love, it's this mystery for which I am in chains. I am captivated. And because I'm captivated, I have all of this life that is burning, that is bursting out of me because I am in love. Here's one thing. I don't know every person in this room, but here's one thing I know about you, is that you are at your best when you're in love. You are at your absolute best when you are in love. If you love your, you are the most sacrificial to your spouse when you are in love. It doesn't make the sacrificing any easier, but you'll be the most sacrificial, the most beautiful when you're in love with your spouse and you do something. When you're in love with your son or daughter, you have patience like you didn't have before. It's just there. It's beautiful. It's you. You're the most, you're your best self when you do that. You're ready to go back again. When the kids drive you crazy, you're ready to go back again because you love them. When you're in love with your church, and so many of you, I'm so thankful that you're in love with your church. You're in love with, SCAC is not a building, it's a group of people, but you give so much to your church. You spend, you give your own money, you give your time, you give your leadership and your talent, your everything to this community, and you don't ask for nothing in return. You're your best self when you love. A lot of us here, we're really for Beacon Hill. We're really for the Rainier Valley. When you love your community, you fight for justice. It's the best that comes out of you. It doesn't mean the circumstances become easier. Love looks more like a cross than it does a Hallmark card. But when you're in love with Jesus, man, it just brings to surface the beauty and the hope that your soul was created to thrive in. That's why Christianity, it makes so much illogical, crazy sense. Because it captivates us. It's captivated me. And it challenges me every day. And it transforms me to love others. That's my best self, to love others just as God's unconditional love for me. Amen? Amen? Second reason why Christianity makes so much sense is that Christianity keeps us dreaming. This is super huge. It keeps us dreaming. Paul says, be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Can we say that phrase together? Make the most of every opportunity. One more time. Make the most of every opportunity. One more time, like you mean it. Make the most of every opportunity. I love that. When you read the writings of Paul, you can't escape that he was the glass is half full type of person. Even though it's only half of glass, he would say the glass is overflowing. I mean, when you read his writings, you can't help but see that he was a very positive outcome person. Now, he didn't always have positive outcomes in his life. That's why you can trust what he says when he talks about opportunity. Paul wasn't this guy like, oh yeah, everything's grand and his head is like pie in the sky. Man, Paul was the guy who was stoned, shipwrecked, his life was threatened, sometimes starving, for food. His life, he was always persecuted. He was always in a kind of danger. And yet through all of that, he talks about this contentment that he experiences. He talks about this way that God has always been with him through the storms of life, that he was able to see God. You see, for Paul, when it comes to this idea of opportunities, for him, opportunities were happening all the time. Opportunities were falling in his lap. Opportunities for what? Opportunities to be present to the reality of what God was doing in the moment. See, for him, the worldview, the idea was this. If God loves us so much, if he really does, and if he's with us all the time, and he really cares, that means that there's an opportunity for God to break in. That means there's an opportunity for God to use you to do something. It means there's an opportunity for God to bring healing, to bring reconciliation, to bring forgiveness, to bring comfort. To him, opportunities then were all around us. They're happening all the time. See, most of the time when we think of opportunity, we use the word great to describe opportunity. Oh, there's a great opportunity. Why is it great? Because opportunities don't come around that often, right? When we think of opportunities, we think, okay, well, I have an opportunity to be promoted next year. I have a very limited opportunity to get pregnant. There's this 0% financing. I have the opportunity. It's only for a limited amount of time. I have this great opportunity to go work overseas. Or I have this great opportunity next year to go take this amazing vacation to the Holy Land. When it comes to the word opportunity, we're always thinking, I have to wait for opportunity to come. Opportunity is like karma. If we get lucky, it just kind of comes our way. Paul is saying something radically different here, isn't he? He's saying, man, if God loves us, and if this world is filled with God's presence, then opportunities abound. Jesus has changed this sometime later, something good will happen mentality. To now. Jesus has changed sometime later, or maybe never. And Jesus says, now. Last month, in the after school program, I try to go down there at least every day just to say hi to the kids. But I try to go down there twice a week to actually mentor and to volunteer and things like that. And there's this one girl that I haven't really been able to connect with. But one time I was down there, I just sensed like, and this girl is, she's in fifth grade, and she's a little bit heavy set. And anyway, and when I was down there, I just sensed God saying, there's an opportunity here. And we're doing this thing called the 12-man challenge. Some of you have heard of that, where the kids earn 12 stars, and once they earn 12 stars for these academic challenges, they get a jersey. And these are real challenges, and so there's a lot of really good learning going on there. But I just sat down with this girl, and I asked her, I said, hey, so how are you doing on the 12-man challenge? Has anyone helped work with you to get some stars? And she was like, no. And I said, okay, well, let's see what's going on. You got your homework. So I just looked at her homework just to assess where she was, and I helped her with some of her things that were she has some difficulty with. And I just made the point that I need to compliment her. So, you know, I gave her a compliment, you know, like, okay, you did good job. And right when I did that, again, you sense the Spirit of God saying, this is an opportunity. And right when I said, this is an opportunity, I just in my mind was like, you know what? No one is investing in this girl. No one is speaking life into this girl. No one is speaking encouragement into this girl. Most people overlook her and just neglect her. And so we took some more time, and I started giving her some work that she could do to work on the challenges. And then after she would complete stuff and things that were difficult, I would just make sure, like, really good job. I knew you could do that. You're really smart. Just things like that. And then at the end of the night, we had our community dinner night. She yells out when we're sitting down about to eat and stuff like that. She yells out across the room. She goes, Pastor Roy, sit next to me. And she's never done that before. I don't know if she has really any kind of adult figures in her life that are really invested in her. Now, I don't presume, right? I don't presume that God used me to change the rest of her life. But what I do know is that God used me to change her in that moment. Sometimes we want this thing, life change, like big, like I'm going to use my impact and it's going to be for the rest. You don't know. But God says the opportunity that you have, because God is present, is that you can make a change in this moment. I know she was changed in that moment. See, the danger of waiting for opportunities to happen to me. If you're that kind of person, like opportunities, you know, sometime later God's going to bless me, right? Sometime later I could do something for God. The danger of waiting for opportunities to happen to me is that you lose your capacity to dream. You lose your capacity to vision. If opportunity is just karma, if it's just something, good luck that comes to you, you won't dream anymore. You remember when you were a little kid and remember you dreamed all the time? Remember when you were a kid and you always were worried about your future? Who am I going to, I mean, Mia, you know, she's in sixth grade or fifth grade. She's like, Daddy, I can't wait to get married. I'm like, what? You know, stop. There's plenty of time for that. But do you remember when you were a kid and used to wish, like, that you could go back into time to change some things because you know those things affected your future? And when you were a kid, you always wish you could go into the future to see how your life's going to turn out because you worried so much? Because you knew that in some sense, that in somehow, that you actually had some measure of control of your future because of the choices that you made. But something happens, like when you turn 30, right? And you got mortgages, and you got little kids, and you got a schedule, and you got to take them to school. And instead of the unpredictability, that kind of, in a way, excited us. Yeah, it gave us some, you know, measure of worry. But all that kind of way goes away for a life that's just kind of based on predictable kind of options. You kind of know what's going to go on. We kind of forget to dream. And I'm not saying routine is bad. Routine actually a lot of times is necessary. I know I wish my life had a little bit more routine. But if life is just seen as the routine of me, as just the routine of just me and just what I do, you're going to lose the opportunity to see what God can do. Because all you think are about the possibilities of what's predictable in my life versus the improbability, probability, probables that God can actually do in your life in the moment. One thing I also think about, I think about, you know, taking every opportunity, I think about our kids. We have Mia and Mason, but we also have two kids in Tanzania, right? Our church together, we've been sponsoring this this community in Bihoma. And, you know, what's been, I think of that opportunity to be able to be in these kids' life, even though we're far away. And one of the things that, you know, for a lot of us who sponsored children, is that once we got our kids, right, you remember that you compared, you know, you compared notes? Like, what's your kid do? How old is she or how old is he? And they're all around the same age, But one of the things that we noticed that was troubling was that almost every one of these kids are missing one or both parents. I mean, that's tough. They're missing one or both parents because of the AIDS. And so I'm just thinking, man, for $35 a month, I mean, what opportunity, that's amazing opportunity, right? For just like $35 a month, that I have this opportunity that, man, I can ensure that, man, they're going to get, you know, education, they're going to go to school, they'll have a uniform, they'll have some clean water, they'll have some, you know, basic, at least some basic health care. You know, I mean, that's an amazing opportunity that I can have. I want to make the most of every opportunity. And the way you can do it, how we can communicate with our kids, even through email. I mean, if I just spend 10 minutes, do you know how much opportunity goes into 10 minutes? In 10 minutes, I can just send an email and tell this child, you know, how much they're loved, you know, how much they matter to God, how much they're loved. That's making great opportunity it's a great opportunity that you have right now in the moment. A lot of us, we did the shipping the gifts to our kids. And so we got some letters back from our kids. And so we sponsored two kids. So this is, Beatrice. And on the right, that's Madanka. And I love saying his name, Madanka, you know. I mean, it's such a powerful name. Mufasa is a cool name, but Madanka is like way, way, way better. So I just love communicating with Madanka. But Beatrice, you know, we got our letter back, and Angel, she texted me. And she said, and she just texted me part of the letter that Beatrice wrote. And Beatrice wrote, she said, "So glad to be part of your family." And she is. "Please don't get tired towards sponsoring us." You know, and Angel said she almost cried. And yeah, it just made me feel sad too. And because I don't want to be one of those sponsors who like sponsor the kids and get excited. And then, you know, after a couple months, you just kind of forget, you know. I think that can happen to me. It could happen to anyone. But I know this is that I could lose my love for these kids. I could lose my connection. I could lose my dream. All of that goes away, can easily go away if I'm not connected to God. All of that can easily disappear if I'm not connected with the God of the universe, the God who tells me that opportunities abound. Because if I'm just kind of inside myself and connected myself and just living life for myself, I'm never going to dream for others. I'm not that selfless. And so opportunities, they are with us all the time. And so the opportunities that Jesus says, because he's brought in the kingdom, right? Remember, he said, this is how you should pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on heaven. No, it's already done in heaven, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The idea is that God, the kingdom up there, has come down here. And it's expressed through the church, through his people. And we have the opportunity in the moment, every day, every moment, to make a difference in this world, to make a difference. And so opportunity tells me, right, keeps me believing, keeps me dreaming, that poverty and death do not have the last word. Opportunity, vision, and dreaming keeps me believing that preventable disease and illness do not have to be the last word, because Christ is present in the moment. And so we have this opportunity right now in this moment to make a difference, to make a change. It makes so much sense. By the way, just letting you know that today the sponsorship tables are open. And I hope that God is impressing upon your heart, if you have not sponsored a child already, or maybe you're thinking about sponsoring a second child, that you would really think about doing that. You have an opportunity right now, today, to do that, to make a difference, to seize that opportunity, to change the outcome. And so these outcomes, you know, I've been talking about after-school program, I've been talking about overseas, but it's about everyday life too. You go in tomorrow, Monday, and your coworker is depressed again because of a personal issue you know that they're struggling with. Well, you know what? That Monday doesn't have to be that bad, because you can go in and do something. You can take the opportunity and change it. You can go in the opportunity and bring hope. If you know a family this Christmas that's struggling, it's going to be another tough Christmas financially. It's going to be another tough Christmas because all the other kids are getting Christmas gifts and their kids aren't. It doesn't have to be like that. You can take the opportunity right now to intervene and to make a difference. If someone that you know is struggling with an illness and maybe they're just all alone, especially in Christmas time, it doesn't have to be that way. Because God is there. Because God is present in the moment. And all you have to do is step in to a God moment to make everyday moments God moments. I love that. It just makes so much sense to me. That's what God wants us to do. God loves us unconditionally. And that unconditional love and his presence that propels us to dream and to hope and to inspire. And the final reason why Christianity makes the most sense, last one, is God's respect for human dignity and freedom. God's respect for human dignity and freedom. Paul says, let your conversation be always, 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 always. I looked up the word in Greek for always. It means always. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. See, this series has been about talking with people who have no faith, who have little faith, or are anti-faith. And Paul says to each category of people, respect, grace, love, in the way that you speak with them. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt. The only way that your conversation with others can be full of grace and seasoned with salt is if your heart is full of grace. And I just have to apologize on behalf of some segments of Christian evangelicals where it's sometimes it seems the rhetoric that comes from that camp, it's hatred, it's guilt, it's condemnation. And what you need to know is that Jesus Christ paid for all of that hate, guilt, and condemnation on the cross. And you need to know that when God approaches you, as God, he's all about loving you, that God will never force or guilt or manipulate or condemn or cajole or sweet talk or bribe or tempt you into a relationship with him. That's not how he operates. He's not going to wag his finger at you into the kingdom. That's not what he does. God is a gentleman, and he will never override your freedom to choose. And the only real authentic response of loving God is if you understand that God loves you. It's not understanding that God hates you or that God is trying to get you. It's that you know and receive that God loves you. And so for you believers here too, remember that. Let your conversation with others, don't have to put all this pressure on yourself. Let it be inviting. Let it be witty. Let it be intelligent. Let it be loving, because God respects everyone's freedom to choose. That's why Christianity makes so much sense to me. God's unconditional love for us, it blows my mind, it captivates me, keeps me dreaming, keeps me hoping, keeps me envisioning. And that he has dignity and respect for every single person, no matter their beliefs, us as well. Christianity just makes the most sense. Why Jesus? Why Christianity? Feels like home because of these things. And so my parting question as we begin to close up is, makes sense to me. Does it make sense to you? Why Jesus? Why Christianity? Does it make sense? Does it make sense to you? And let me just tell you the response that I believe through all these weeks that I've been seeking to build up to, that I think, you know, as I've prayed about it, we've been talking about things like, you know, people say that there is no absolute truth, and we've addressed that, and the problem of evil in the world, and we've addressed that, and talk about, you know, has there been myths and things like that put into the New Testament, to the Bible? We've addressed that. Are Christians really narrow-minded? You know, we've addressed these things. And these are common things in our culture that a lot of people have issue with. And here's what I know, is that a lot of Christians even have issue with those things. And you live in this atmosphere of doubt. Because you say, I have these doubts too, and so I kind of forget about those. I'm just going to kind of live my life half-heartedly. That's not really, I think, what God wants for us. God wants us to live life. And the way you live life is by having faith. Having faith. Doubts will come too, absolutely. But these things that we've talked about, you don't need to doubt those things. You know, if you're worried to be doubted about, you know, is God's love like really, you know, because there's so much evil in this world. Like, if you just, if that's where your mind goes, if your mind is there and stuck in that doubt, you will actually never confront evil. I'd rather you just have faith that God is doing something and then go out and confront evil and then actually begin, go back to that question about doubt and see what God says and what God does. You need to get in the game. What I'm talking about, believers, is that you need to get in the game. This is a time to say, like, I am all in. It's reasonable. Truth is narrow. Yes. Truth is narrow. Get over it, right? Truth is narrow. Any truth is narrow. Leave those doubts of the kitty doubts. Stand for what you believe and move on to more mature doubts. Does that make sense? You need to be all in. All in for Jesus. And for those of us that, you know, maybe you're new and maybe you've stuck with this series for a while and maybe you're not a believer, I think God's invitation and God's call to you is something similar. It was just receiving his love. Would you just trust me enough to believe and to know that God actually loves me? To receive him into your life, into your heart, to allow for the forgiveness of your sins and for allowing that unconditional love to transform you, for that inspiration to hope and to dream this life. But he won't do it because he's trying to condemn you that until he respects your ability. He's given you the God-given ability, the freedom to choose. He's already chosen you, and he's asking that you might choose him. Let's pray. I'm going to ask the communion ushers to come forward at this time as well. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these past 6 weeks. And I just pray, Father, that there's just many here, especially those who belong to, you know, who are members of SCAC, who are believers, that these particular doubts that are so prevalent and that we've heard before, that even for us, that we can leave those behind, that we can stand firm believing that you're the way, the truth, and the life, and you didn't say that because of pride. You said that out of love, because there's no one else coming, and you have come. And I pray, Father, that all of us can make a stand and just say, God, I'm all in. I don't want to live a life of passivity, energized by my doubts. I want to live a life of dream and vision based on faith. I want to move from the kiddie pool of doubts, and I want to move on to living life and deal with real life circumstances and real people and real situations and really tough things where the kingdom of God is seeking to burst in. If people would step out and say, I'm in, I'm all in. So, if that's you, church, if that's you, you want to just, you know, move on from these little kiddie pool doubts and move on and step in and say, God, I'm all in, I'm all for you, you know, this is your time. This is your time of commitment. I'm not going to make you do anything weird like stand up or raise your hand or something like that, but when you come forward and receive communion and you drink that juice and you take that, you're just telling God, it's real to me, God. God, you're real to me. God, I'm going all in with you. And I have more to go, and you're going to teach me more, but I'm going to leave those little kiddie pool doubts behind. I'm going to start living my faith energized by faith. I'm going to start living my life energized by faith instead of living a life of passivity based on the energy of doubt. I don't want to live in that anymore. And so when you drink the cup and you eat the wafer, you're saying, God, your blood, your body, everything that I've learned, everything I understand that I know, and I don't know everything, and it's required by faith, but God, in faith and through faith, I'm all in. I'm all in. And for you today, maybe you just want to open your life up to Jesus for the very first time. And if that's you, I invite you, to just pray this prayer with me. And then afterward, you can come down and you can receive communion as well. Maybe this is the first time you receive communion. You can do that well. And you're saying the same thing. You're saying, God, I open up my life to you. I thank you for forgiving me for all of the messed up things that I've done. And I am so happy. I'm so jazzed that you don't bring out a list and saying, well, you didn't meet requirements 9 and 10. No, there are none. That you've loved me forever and ever. And in some sense, maybe I even knew that. And I receive your son. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness in this moment right now. I'm making the most of every opportunity, and the opportunity is now. And I receive you into my life. And I ask that you would be the Lord of my life, the director of my life, that I'm just going to remove myself out of the driver's seat and let you steer. Lead me to where you want me to go, because I desperately need your love. And if that's your prayer today, you're opening your life to Jesus for the first time, you take that communion, you take that wafer as well, and you go back to your seat and say, God, I am all in. This is real to me. And you receive those elements. Thank you, God, for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to serve the communion ushers first. And then, church, when you're ready to receive, you can come forward. And if this is an altar area up here, if you need just time, just hang out and pray and just come up here under the cross. And you want to take communion up here, just it's freedom in this place to do that. All right?